What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Chasing Daylight podcast. My name is Matt. Joe is here. Dan is here. Jeremy will be joining us shortly. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, that's hopping on. Oh, here's Jeremy. Bring in J-Mart. What's up, Jay?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Good, good. We just started, just got the show rolling, so you didn't miss it, nothing.
Cool.
Got some great topics tonight. Let me bring up the banner so we can show that. A lot of golf was played. Some good golf, some bad golf, some terrible golf, some disqualifying golf, which we'll get
some
into.
Bad greens.
We'll get into that. Yeah, there's a lot going on in our golf space, so we're excited to talk to all you out there. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Also want to say thank you to Unwritten Law and Scott Russo for letting us use that intro. We love it. Thank you so much for that. Also, the Golf Stop. You can see we got the Golf Stop banner in the background. And I want to especially give some thanks to them. I was in there last week prepping for the tourney. Awesome place, man. Awesome place. So if you're looking for an indoor TrackMan lounge facility, check it out. West Henderson in the St. Rose Corridor, right next to, close to the new West Henderson Hospital. It's West Henderson, Joe. You're just going to have to get used to it. West Henderson.
And it'll never make sense to me, but okay. I get it. Never makes sense.
Mark's hanging out on YouTube. Thank you, sir, for being here. A lot of stuff going on. So I was out. Let's start with TPC Summerlin. If everybody's not familiar with TPC Summerlin, it's a local course here in town, private club. It's where the Shriners plays. And man, hanging, it was a one-day member guest. Cyrus, who we've had on the show, is a friend of ours, invited me out to play with him. It was a great honor. My first member guest I've ever been a part of at a private club, so it was a really cool experience. Had amazing food, had a nice little Jones cooler, tea bag gift, and weather was amazing. We had a really good time. They had tacos that they were serving that were delicious. Probably ate too many. And we had a really good time out there. The course was, I told Cyrus, I said, I haven't played on the new grass or the greens, you know, since they did it, redid it a couple years back. And the greens were firm. I mean, like firm. They were not holding anything. I remember on number one, we started on the back, but on hole one, Cyrus had a wedge into the green and he landed it maybe 5 feet short of the flag, and it released uphill with a 58 degree wedge, firm and fast. I mean, it was fun putting on them, but it was like, wow, lightning fast. But the course is in good shape. Shockingly, well, not shockingly, because this is happening to a lot of courses in town. I just didn't foresee it happening there. They are gutting a lot of grass, like a lot. You know, that area, the berm, that is, if you're looking at the hole, if you're looking at the eighth hole, the par three, to the left of it, where the players walk from eight green mm-hmm. to nine tee box, that whole grassy area, that's all rock now.
Wow.
That whole area is rock. There's tons of areas that they pulled out, like between the tee boxes and the fairways, pulled out a lot of grass. It was kind of, I mean, it looks different. It definitely looks different out there. But let me tell you, it was a joy to play out of real bunkers.
Yeah, I bet.
It was nice. Well, you know what? The bunkers at Reflection, I think I had five bunker shots and all of them were excellent. So those were probably, I'd probably say those are some of the best bunkers in town. Now, what do you guys think?
Yeah, they were good.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Cyrus says he hadn't seen the course that firm. I mean, balls were rolling through the fairways. I hit so many fairway bunkers. It was ridiculous. The greens were crazy fast. So it was a good time, though. It was a good time.
I appreciate firmness. Like, I appreciate the firm greens from fairways.
Well, I like firm and receptive. It kind of makes it tough to play the game, you know, that we all kind of get used to playing out here when you you can't aim for greens because if you hit it, you're rolling off.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, you can't like hold a green from 115 yards with a 58 degree wedge. That's a little too firm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe hit down on your on the ball a little more, get a little more spin. I don't know. Or play short of it. Learn your lesson as you're playing. If it's not going to stick, play a little shorter.
I didn't have many opportunities to hit a green, so I was, yeah.
I think that's part of it, though. It's like, you know, like it's hard to know what the course is doing when you're playing it because the courses change consistently. They always do, whether we get rain or whether we don't get any rain. And I think that's part of the puzzle that like the course will present to you, like, okay. And it's how quickly you can learn about that. You know, if you can learn that in 2-3 holes, you're probably better off. But if it takes you 10 holes, it's probably going to not suit you well. And I've struggled with that forever, but, you know, like Desert Pines is always super soft. It creates a wave. So, and we don't have like great public courses to where there is that medium where that works. I mean,
no.
Even Paiute can be pretty brutal at times with their immaculate conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's fun because it, if you can learn the lesson quickly, you're better off than the field. But if it takes you a while to be like, hey, I got to play short of this, you know.
What lesson did you learn quickly at Reflection?
That the greens were shit.
Oh, I mean.
And you could hit the perfect putt and it wouldn't go in. Or you could hit the perfect putt and it would go in. I mean, it was like a bouncy ball. It was a bounce house, man. It was club fun time. It was discovery zone.
It was, I felt so bad because, you know, it's a major venue.
Jeremy got it.
It was a major venue for us and it's a fantastic golf course. It's got, you know, amazing golf holes, beautiful scenery. Mm-hmm. The wind was a challenge and the greens there are just bad. They're just not even close. There's not any other way to say it other than they are bad. And Joe wasn't kidding. You could hit the perfect putt and miss it a foot to the left. And it sucked because I was telling everybody this. I was like, you know, so I'm just going to power this in. And then if you're off just a little bit on your read, it's 10 feet past the hole. Or if you say, okay, I'm going to hit this with a perfect pace on the perfect read, it would plinko and it was just ridiculous. I burned so many edges where the ball is going in the heart and it just turn at the last second. And
I think they opened back up a little too early.
Way too early. Like it should not be open now.
No. So I mean, obviously it's gonna get there at some point, but it's just not there yet.
Will it?
It's not there yet.
Will it?
I'd be curious.
Play, I mean, who
knows? Yeah. I'd be curious how did the club at Sunrise switch greens? Because there's the same grass, right?
Yeah, well, Club at Sunrise this is why I asked that, will it? Because what happened with Club at Sunrise is, you know, there was a flood, and because it's on the flood channel, they got funding to redo the golf course. So they gutted all the irrigation, they gutted all the turf, they brought in all new dirt, all new irrigation, and those greens were built from scratch with the perfect soil, with the perfect irrigation. And you know, I don't know the ins and the outs to how they replaced the greens out there, but those greens were poisoned. I mean, the turf was infected with chemicals. And did they get all that out? That grass is the hardiest grass that there is. And the fact that they haven't been able to get it to come in.
It looked completely different from Club at Sunrise.
Oh, it's not even the same.
The same grass. Yeah, it was like super sprouty and like Club at Sunrise is kind of like spongy. So it looked completely different. You wouldn't even think it's the same grass.
Because it's not grown. It's not healthy.
I feel like it needed water. It's like they hadn't watered it in like weeks. That's what it felt like. Yeah. It was like crusty and
brown, patchy, sandy. Just It was really disappointing. Yeah, I felt bad.
I'm curious to see what happens after this.
Hey,
summer,
look at Adam Simpson's in the house. It is a summer grass.
Yeah, it's a summer grass. So I think we'll know what's actually going on after summer or during summer.
I hope. You know, so I really wanted to come back. I wanted to be.
I would love for it.
Too. Well, yeah, it sucks because it'll probably be $175 instead of a, you know, what yeah. we're paying now.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's, if it's in that good a shape, if it's, if those greens were the same greens as Club at Sunrise, yeah. amazing golf course.
Rest of the course was really good. I mean, but greens were not good. So.
All right, so Jeremy and Dan, you guys played early, and we'll get into the DQ thing later. But I looking at the scorecards from all the guys in the Champions Flight that went out there. You guys lit up the front. I don't think there was anybody that was far or worse. Everybody had three or four birdies on the card, it seemed like. But the back was a completely different story. Was it wind related, or is the back there just tougher?
I think the back is tougher, but I think, at least for me, like the holes that I finished so bad, and that's a whole other story. But the thing that was hard for me was once the wind did pick up, when you try to play the wind, like I was hitting draws to kind of like ride the wind, but it would hit the green and it would just ricochet off the, like I hit the green and it would like roll clear across the green into the water. Like there was no stopping the ball.
I saw Jeremy on our hole a couple times. So
dude, I was spraying the driver for sure, but I was leaving myself in some really good spots actually on other holes.
You got really lucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jeremy was pushing it off the tee a little bit.
So. I was pushing it for sure.
You got lucky then. You got really lucky on those.
Yeah.
Dan,
so for me,
Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it was more the greens than the wind, in my opinion. Yeah. Just not being able to stop the ball with like long irons and stuff.
Hey, Jed, since you're listening, let's make the first major next year at TPC Vegas. Can you help us with that? Let's make that happen.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Dan. What's your thoughts on the back versus the front?
I think the back does play, like Jeremy said, a little bit harder. There's a couple of holes there that, you know, par is a good score, and with the condition of the greens, made that even more so. I think for me personally, I'm not even gonna sugarcoat it. I might have overdone it on the libations. I was feeling really good on 16.
And, oh yeah, I came in the clubhouse and Dan was like,
"Yeah, I had a good time." Me and
he was like ready to give a handshake to a homie. He was like, ready.
"Yeah." Me and Brandon rode together and we had some fun. And I think we kind of annoyed Matt on 17 because he was like, "I'm leaving you guys," and like, you know, we're still hanging out by the cart having fun and laughing and bullshit, and he decides to take off. But I would agree. It's definitely a little bit tougher. And just like I said, with just the bouncy greens, the firmness of the greens, it was tough to put anything near a flag and tough to hold any putts. But, you know, for a while there, Aaron was playing great. And he was right there with Big Matt. Big Matt had no issues, you know.
Yeah, right.
He got another win for him. That's three in a row for him. So it's doable. It's just only a couple of guys did it, I guess.
Yeah. I think that goes back to my point is like, how quickly can you adapt? Right. If you know what's going on, like how quickly can you adapt to it? Cause the greens were bouncy. I heard my ball skipping across the grain.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, so it's like, okay, my ball's skipping, you know, so what do I need to do to improve that aspect? I don't think it has anything to do with the firmness of the greens. I think it has to do with like just straight up being on the greens and like, I didn't watch Matt play. So was he just hammering him in the hole? Was he playing a lot of break? Like, I mean, because I feel like you had to get a little lucky on those greens because they were bouncing. They were for sure bouncing.
Yeah. I mean, usually in the case of bouncy greens, you can probably cut a lot of the break off. So when you see like 6 inches, it's really only going to probably break about 2 to 3 because they're not rolling true. They're going to be bouncing all offline and all kinds of shit, maybe even more. I think a lot of luck is sometimes involved. But yeah, you're right, Joe, for the most part. I mean, you kind of have to adapt. Like the greens weren't like super, super firm because I was stopping like my 8 irons and 7 irons. But the minute I hit a 6 or a 5 iron,
yeah,
that was tough to judge.
Yeah.
You know, and because, you know, it hit in the middle of the green and you release off the back or, you know, get to the back. I just think overall that, you know, yeah, you just with greens like that, you need a lot of luck. You really do. Could be one of the most skillful golfers in the league, but if you don't have that luck and get the right bounces, you know, you're going to miss. Yeah.
I screwed up.
I mean, I was making ball marks and I was stopping them fairly decently if I had like a lower iron, but yeah, it's just.
So many chances where I could have putted off of the green off of, you know, instead of I chipped instead of putted. Instead of putting the ball, I chipped and going back. That probably was a mistake. I probably should have putted a little bit more to get the ball on the ground. And instead of, because even the chip shots that I hit, like I'd hit a good chip shot and the ball just went nowhere where it was supposed to.
Yeah. That happened to me on 10. I came up just a little short and I think it was a front right pin, if I can remember correctly. And I was right there next to Matt Plummer. I watch him chip. He chips it about 3 feet right, kind of releases it, almost makes it, goes past the hole about 2-3 feet. I literally hit in the same exact spot as he did, and my ball jumped 7 feet to the left, and I had a 5-foot putt from completely the other side of the hole than his.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, just one of those things. You got to get the right bounces, got to get lucky.
So I think
it was a puzzle for sure.
I vowed everybody in the VGN, we will not go back there until those greens ready. So
yeah,
Jed's gonna help us get on TPC Vegas. So
yeah,
let me ask you this, that would be great. Let me ask you this, would you take Reflections greens right now or Prim's greens from last year?
Prim.
Those weren't greens at Prim for sure.
Those weren't greens at Prim. So well, I mean it was a different kind of activity.
Joe was quick with that Prim.
Joe was quick with Prim.
So yeah, he must really hate Reflection.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like if you see grass and then you see dirt, I think it's more predictable than seeing grass that you don't know what's going to happen on your line.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to skip across dirt and it's going to kill it a little bit or whatever. I mean, you can adapt a little bit easier. I feel like Reflection, you had to be lucky.
Yeah.
Like you literally had to be lucky.
It was so deflating to look at a putt, read it, hit it. It's a great putt and you're in a worse spot than you were before you putted. I mean, it was just wild.
Yeah. I saw balls like end over end. And then like we played with, Boyd, who he has the triple track, and I would see him hit a really good putt and it would be a good line. And you can see that triple track roll. Right. And then we just hit something and be like fucking creating some kaleidoscope of some shit, you know? So
we need that guy that does the videos with the rolling the ball on the the pure putt to, you know,
that's over also ball the marks, thing though too.
Over,
yeah.
Over,
yeah.
You know, pitch marks over footprints. I'd like to see him go out there.
I was literally thinking that. Yeah.
Hey, we're just going to line up an 8-foot putt here. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And that's what I thought.
It looks like a 17th hole at the Players shot tracer.
And that's on a decent green. I mean, and it's like the variations that can happen on a decent green to a green that's not ready to be played on, like,
yeah,
it's got the variables got to be astronomical on something like that.
Hats off to Big Matt for shooting 3 under.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's 7100 out there. That's a challenging 7100, which I couldn't believe how many of the gold tee boxes were close to the black tee boxes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because Jesse Bonner and myself, we're not big hitters. And he said to me, we were on like the 15th hole. He's like, Matt, 6,800 is big for me. I said, yeah, I know it is for me too, man. It was deep on some of them holes.
Yeah. It was fun though. Had a good day.
It was fun.
All right. So, congrats to the winners. That's what I didn't do. I should have brought up the, maybe I'll do that during the break. I'll add that on there. So, yes, we're going to have a break coming up here soon. Something new. This happened, though. I did this little rant, and I want to get your guys' spew on this.
What the hell is going on in the golf space right now? This is nuts. We were out at Reflection Bay this weekend, and they were running a promo on a par 3 where you could double your money if you hit the green. Pro Shop Credit, of course, and a bunch of the guys did it because they knew, hey, basically you get a box of Pro V1s for half price. Nope, not the case. They go inside. $80 is what they're charging for a box of Pro V1s. Who in their right mind thinks that a box of Pro V1s is worth $80? I don't care what logo's on the ball. This is ridiculous. Absolutely insane. We want to hear your thoughts. We'll be talking about it tonight on the podcast.
How wild was that?
Yeah, I feel like I got swindled a little bit.
You know, there's been a lot of people have been commenting on it. And so how much did you put up, Joe? $40?
I put up 40. Me and Boyd put up 40.
So somebody said, so you got a box of Pro V1s for $40?
No, well, we didn't hit the green. I barely missed the green.
But if you would have hit the green.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, if I miss the green, $40, you know, I'm going to buy balls eventually. So I'll throw up another 20 to buy a box of balls that I play every time, you know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, if I hit the green, a box of Pro V's, I mean, I would have got it for $40. So, but yeah, I feel like I got swindled 100%.
Retail, someone coming in shows up. Oh, I'll just buy a box of balls at the course. No reason to pack any. Which, hey, throw them in your golf bag. Pack them.
I will say, if you put up $40 or more, you got a free sleeve of Pro V1s.
Yes.
Or Pro V1X. So we did get that at least. They didn't have any yellows, so that defeats my point. But I do need new polos, so I was like, worst case, you know, I need a new polo, you know, because I'm getting chubbier. It is what it is. and I walked in there, and I'm like, I swear, I spent like 25 minutes in that pro shop. Like, I'm not trying to go to Margaritaville. You know what I mean? I'm not a Jimmy Buffett fan. I don't listen to his music. I don't know who he is. So I bit the bullet, and I was like, this one's okay. So I'll get this one, you know, because I'm not spending $80 on a box of Pro V's. Not happening. I'll spend $100, $110 on a polo, maybe, but because that's where the industry is currently, and that's a dog walk talks thing I talked about. But $80 for a box of balls is absolutely insane.
It's like they charge you like per sleeve instead of just giving you like the price of a dozen. They're like, okay, a dozen, mm-hmm. That's four sleeves at $20 a sleeve. That's $80 a dozen.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's stupid. It's dumb as fuck.
And the people that
$7 a ball at that point, basically. You
know, Alex sent me a message, and he said, let me bring it up here. Where did he say? Da, 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 da. There it is. He said he blames the golfers, though. If golfers stopped buying the product, then businesses would bring the prices down. But when demand is still there, they've been pushing price points in the valley since COVID. He's watched three different properties firsthand. It's fucking wild, but golfers are still paying.
Well, yeah, no shit.
And I mean, they're in a bind. Like I said, you know, people, it's a destination course. People are staying at the resort. They're not packing their balls. I'll just buy a box there. You know, and not everybody is Bob West that can show up at the course with no balls in their bag, go, hey, let me have a sleeve and play five rounds. So they're kind of stuck, you know, and if you're at Lake Las Vegas and you're staying there, you're not taking a Uber to Golf Galaxy to buy a box of balls because it's going to be $90 round trip.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, they got people that are in a bind, and it sucks that they're doing that. I get it. I understand capitalism, but I mean, good grief. That is ridiculous.
Why would you even want a Reflection Bay logo on a box of balls after playing them fucking greens?
bring back the leftovers and go, I want a refund.
Yeah.
Just giving his logo ball back. Yeah. Here, take it. I don't want this shit anymore.
Can I help you?
I only need one. Okay. I've been here before. I don't even need this one. But
here's 11 unused balls. Please take this back.
But I mean, I think the entire like golf industry has just gone by the wayside. Like, it's ridiculous. Like with hitting greens, like talked about this the other night, but
hey, researching, not everybody watches Dog Walk Talks.
I know. But the dude, like a t-shirt does like I was going to order the Malbon shirt, the Curb Your Enthusiasm one, because I'm a big fan of Larry David. And it was like $72 shipped. And I've heard there's a lot of quality issues with those. There is no t-shirt in the world that you should spend $60 on. I'm sorry. You know, and with me doing what I've been doing, like I know the price. You know, like, and I don't put out
at a much better price than you're getting them for.
Exactly. Right. And I don't put out shit. Right. But maybe my t-shirts, the blanks that I use aren't as good quality, but they're ordering 5,000, 10,000, whatever it is. To charge that, it's ridiculous. Like bring yourself back down to earth. You know, like we want to wear it, and I just don't even understand the excuses for it. Like it blows my mind. It really does. Like you don't need to make that much money. You don't need to make 300-400% on anything. And yeah, they do have like websites to run and there's marketing and I get all that, but like that, I hate that. I really do, because being a homegrown like brand doing it by myself, like I just want to put cool shit out there, and maybe one day it'll get there, but I'm never going to charge more than double what it costs me. Never.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. It makes no sense, because I'm not trying to screw people. Because I know I would never spend that. So why would I put it out there for other people to spend that?
It's crazy.
It upsets me.
Prices all over the place. It's just, you know. Cliff's chiming in on the Sunday Red stuff.
Yeah, I have. And that was a Dog Walk Talks the other night, because they ordered thousands and thousands and thousands, and it does not cost that much. And it's like, if it there's no way.
Those gloves are $6.
Yeah. 10 tops.
Maybe 10 maximum.
I know, but that's, I'm just saying, like, that's absolute tops.
Yeah,
at the mass amount that they're ordering, tops, absolute tops, and that's a stretch also. But like for a polo to be $120, $130, I think they're $128. No,
but you know, I mean, can you blame them for doing that? Because
yes,
no, but listen,
well, not them, but the market. Yes,
G4 is doing it.
And it's Grayson's, that's what's happening.
Grayson is doing it. Peter Millar is doing it. They're all doing it, and
they're in line with the market. I get that.
Hey, $19 at Bucky's.
Yeah, if Bucky's can do it,
yeah,
like,
right.
Why can't Tiger do it? You know, like it infuriates me quite a bit, because I'm literally like, my first stop is the clearance rack. And the only issue with the clearance rack is like, they might not have your size, but like Jeremy got that size that wasn't mine. And it was a great deal, like $50 for a Travis and Matthew polo. That's a steal.
Oh yeah.
But you know, if they can sell it at 50, they can sell it at 80 or 100 and make money.
Yep.
Sorry. That's my whole thing.
All right. So, happy to announce that if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, before we started doing these live ones, where the only place that you could get it was if you listened to it on, you know, iTunes or Spotify, whatever. We used to run ads for our favorite golf store here in town. And I reached out to them, let them know we've been doing stuff live and wanted to see if they were interested in coming back and hanging with us. So here we go.
Celebrate Mother's Day at Las Vegas Golf Superstore. Don't miss incredible deals like 15% off all golf club package sets. Buy any two apparel items and receive a third free. And save big on shoes, bags, carts, and travel covers. The more you buy, the more you save. Shop with us this Mother's Day in-store or online. Las Vegas Golf Superstore by Worldwide Golf. Get there.
Right after we talk about how things are overpriced, you can get one, a third one for free. Let's go. I think that makes it even. That makes it even.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's the thing, though.
Shout out to all the mothers, too, because Mother's Day is coming. Yeah. So
it is. If you can do that, shout out Worldwide Golf.
Yeah. Love that place. Love that place.
It's the only place I shop. That's 100% true.
It's some amazing used deals there.
Yeah.
Some people like take stuff out, hit it once, bring it back, throw it in. Instant discount.
It's true.
Instant discount. So go take advantage of that. And thank you, Las Vegas Golf Superstore, for coming back and letting us showcase.
Got the video now. Wow, look at that.
Look at that. We're fancy now.
Yeah,
we're fancy.
New lady golfer making an appearance on there.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
Okay, so Joe, this is going to be a fun segment for you. Band and Dune celebrated their 25th anniversary, hence the hat. And hey, I had to put the I had to take
that is why I wore it. That is why I wore it.
I had to take the Knights covers down, and I put the Solstice cover up there because Bandon's coming.
Yeah, it is coming.
It is coming. But Shorty's opened up.
It did.
And I know Joe is a huge fan. He has some of his artwork hanging behind him. I try to chat up Jeff Marsh as much as I can because he's all over the place, does a lot of work for the LPGA. He's in New York right now for that event. I think it's New York, yeah. And he was out at Bandon for the 25th anniversary. So if you want to see some amazing pictures of everywhere all around the country, he goes, but he loves him some Bandon. And he was out there. And so I highly recommend checking out his page. But Joe, so of all the things you saw, how much more excited are you about Shorty's?
I kept messaging or commenting on posts. Like, I want to see the clubhouse. Want to see the clubhouse. We got that from the Band of Dunes account a little bit, and we know what they are serving food wise at the Shorty's clubhouse, and it's tacos, which I am totally down with.
Yes.
Larson Golf was out there. Golf Scout was out there. There was a lot of people out there this week. Roger Steele was out there. I really wanted to see inside the clubhouse, but and maybe that's good. Right? Like there's still a surprise for us because we are going and I'm excited to see it. I talked to Schuster briefly on Instagram. He said it is the ultimate barefoot walk off. So I'm ready for that. I can't wait for that. I did the flyovers on the website. I think the yardages are they're really similar throughout the holes. So I'm not a big fan of that. I wish there was a little bit of difference there.
Make sure you can bring just a couple clubs.
Yeah. And they can change it too, like, you know, depending on tee box, but I'm very excited. You know, I can't wait to get out there. You know, I'm stoked that WAC Golf, what is that? Whitman. I can't remember all the architects, but you know, it looks like they did something really good.
I can't wait. At all costs.
No, but from pictures I saw, it looks like there you can actually drive up to Shorty's, which I wasn't expecting, and park. So I can't wait. I literally cannot wait to get there. I almost ordered the rope hat today just to have it, but haven't played it yet. And I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know if I love the logo, but I like it. for anybody that is a Bandon lover, I would go watch that short film on Shorty Dow. It explains why they named it Shorties and why they changed the name from the original Shorties from the driving range. And I can't wait. And I can't wait to spend that time with you guys for 4 or 5 days. You guys, and also those that are not on the podcast, I can't wait to see the first timers' looks. It's going to be an absolute blast.
How about Jackson saying he's going to bring his tattoo gear?
I hope that's true.
I'm going to come home with so much ink.
Yeah, we're gonna have to live pod.
I know you walked 36 holes today, but get over here. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would. It'd be really cool. It'd be solidifying in the brotherhood, the love of golf. But yeah, I have done. And if I was faced with that, I'd probably just have to do it.
Joe's going to get a preserve bunker tattooed on his face.
No, it'll just be a flower, right under my eye. The preserve flower. I forget the name of it.
The Bandon logos on it as a necklace. Katie will never let you go on a golf trip again.
Yeah, no, not happening. But yeah, dude, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. Even if nobody gets tattoos, I can't wait. We're under 100 days now, and I need it. It's been a long time for a golf trip, and I can't wait.
88 days.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. I got to get back in the gym.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, I have put on so much weight in the past 3 weeks. It's unreal. Like, I haven't changed much, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, fat. Good Lord.
Shame.
Yeah, it's not good.
Hey, but I mean, like, before we go off this, I just want to say, like, I mean, Mike Kaiser is a fucking visionary, like, 100%. Like, back in 99, well, that's when it opened, but before that, like, he wanted to do something, he did it, and it's grown, you know, and that's something in life, like, if you can grow, like, that's special, right? So, like, he created something. Yes, it's hella expensive, it's very pricey, but man, it's when you leave that place, you feel like you're leaving home, which is everybody should understand how that feels when you're leaving home for a long time. And every time I've left that place, I can't wait to get back. So shout out 25 years Bandon. I'm sure there's many, many, many more years of that place.
The new restaurant at Old Mac looks incredible.
The Ghost Tree Grill.
The Ghost Tree Grill. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
And I heard, I didn't see from the pictures, but I heard there was going to be a spot where you can look down and watch people hit on to 18, which that is one of the best approach shots at Bandon. Even though you can't see it, it's so fucking cool. It's such a little magical spot.
Yeah, that green is a punch bowl. And I mean, anybody could hole out at any time. So that's place is special, man. I can't wait to share that experience with y'all.
The first time I played it with Scotty D, he was like, okay, you see that tree 20 feet to the left of the left edge of the bunker? I'm like, you mean the forest? And he's like, yeah, hit it there. And I'm like, what? Okay. So I actually hit it where he said, and he's like, perfect. And I'm like, what? And he's like, just walk.
Just feed
me. And all of a sudden you just see this ball come rolling down this hill. He's like, told you. It's so fucking cool. It's so cool.
I can't wait, man. I'm
88 days. Excited. 88 days. That's gonna be
And you know what? There's 88 keys in a keyboard, so just buy a keyboard and just every day just
play one note.
That's a shout out. Yeah. Play one note every day.
Okay. Kind of like those Christmas things where you get the chocolate out of the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, advent calendar.
Advent calendar.
Ding. Yeah.
Ding. And at the end, it's just like, yeah, bitch, we're going to Bandon.
Going to Bandon. Oh, I need to bring up your Bannon soundbite. I haven't played that in a while. Let's go to Bannon. All right. Before we get into some tournament golf talk and the DQ, let's get Matty G in here real quick to give everybody the Mother's Day weekend forecast.
What's going on, everybody? Fox 5 meteorologist Matt Gontark with the Chasing Daylight podcast. Heading into this upcoming weekend, temperatures are only going up. 80s and 90s out there for Mother's Day weekend. If you're taking your wife out for a round of golf, looking dry, looking hot, enjoy it. And if you're going out for an early tee time, probably the best bet. Morning lows will be in the 60s and 70s, and then we're quickly warming up to the 90s on Saturday and Sunday. Have a great Mother's Day weekend.
Mother's Day weekend. Again, shout out to all the mothers out there. We love you. All right. We had another first in the VGN. And it sucked. And Jeremy was involved in it. And it like didn't wreck me as bad as it wrecked Sean Rowe. Because he was like devastated about it. But we had to DQ a group in the diamonds division, and it was hard for me because I don't want to have a stigma on the league that like, oh, you don't want to play in this. It's too serious. I want everybody to be able to have a good time and enjoy themselves and play some competitive golf, but there are rules that we do have to follow, and we do play by the rules. You know, we're not a hack league. It's not, you know, we don't make shit up as we go along. We play by the rules. And we had a group that teed off from the wrong tee box. They didn't know it was the wrong tee box. Unfortunately, the group behind them figured it out. And a player in that group played from the wrong tee box, called Sean, said, "Hey, what's the ruling?" Went to the correct tee box, took a 2-stroke penalty, and played the hole out. And that boiled down to why we had to DQ the guys. Because had Dane played the hole out and afterward realizes it wrong, took a 2-stroke penalty, then everybody would have played the hole the same. We could have just assessed a 2-stroke penalty to everybody. But because Dane actually went back to the tee box and played a second shot, he played the hole the way it's supposed to. That's why it came down to that. And it sucked, but I mean, I want to give a lot of respect to Jeremy and who else was in your group? Zach
Beds.
And Beds.
And Michael.
And Michael. Guys took it freaking on the chin, like champs. Like, hey, yeah. You know, I was trying as hard as I could to find a way to not DQ you guys because you know, it's not like next week there's a tournament and you're in that tournament and, you know, and the next week there's a tournament after that. It's not the PGA Tour. This is, you know, a local league where we play once a month. And, you know, this was an expensive tournament. It was a major. And I felt bad saying your score doesn't count because Reflection Bay had a shitty setup. But you guys said, no, hey, rules are the rules. We fucked up. It is what it is. So I do want to say thank you so much for that. That if anybody has any question about integrity for the people that play in this golf league, I'll squash it right now because I would have been upset. I don't know if I would have been as nice as you guys were about it. but it happened, you know, it happened and we did it. But what I wanted to kind of, you know, CDP After Dark presentation brought to you by Dog Walks Talks. Tournament golf. It's a different brand of golf. And you know, I had one player get really frustrated and leave because he said, "I'm tired of six and a half hour rounds of golf," which I displayed to everybody. Our worst time was 5.5. And that was from the last half of the field that was playing in 20 mile an hour winds on a really tough golf course with shitty greens. So wasn't too upset with the times. But it's a different animal. You know, we're, we, t- tell everybody you're accountable for your actions. You have to play your ball. You have to count your strokes. There's no, oh, that's good. That's no, oh, you top that one. Hey, drop another one. Hit again. You know, none of that takes place. Everybody is accountable for their game, and it's a different brand of golf. And if you have not played tournament golf,
it's different.
It's different. It's very, very different. And when it matters, when it's a big tournament, you know, it can really get in your head. And I just wanted to hear, Jeremy, I know you've played a lot of tournament golf. Dan, you've played a lot of tournament golf. Joe and I, not as much.
A shit ton of tournament golf, man.
Well, since the VGN.
VGN. Started. I've been at VGN 5 years, man.
But how do you guys approach tournament golf? Is there a different mindset to it, or is your game so set in stone that it doesn't matter if you're, you know, five beers deep at the turn, or, you know, it's $1,000 on the line event? Is your mindset the same, or do you think differently?
Me personally, I definitely think differently when it comes to more tournament play than anything. Because it's completely different from then just, you know, that afternoon stroll out with your buddies. You know, you want to try to keep it simple and try to keep it easy, like you're on an afternoon stroll with your buddies. But when there's stuff on the line, you know, your head's always going to come into it. You're always going to have a little bit of pressure. You don't get that when you play with your buddies. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, for me, the mindset changes a little bit. I mean, in the VGN, yeah, I want to win, but I'm more of like having fun. When I was younger in my 20s and was really trying to play tournament golf as a career, yeah, there was no – I was dead serious about stuff. I wasn't, you know, wasn't drinking beers and having shots and smoking bowls and shit out there. Yeah, it's when it's tournament time and you got stuff on the line, there's money to win or anything like that. Yeah, it's go time. Your mind has to change. You have to get into competitive mode. And I honestly feel like if you don't get there, the field's going to lap you by, because all those guys are trying to win. They're not there to have a good time either. They're trying to win. They're trying to make a career out of this. So yeah, your mindset has to change for sure.
Yeah. Jeremy, what definitely. About you?
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, like just trying to hanging out with the friends and stuff, you just kind of have fun and hit shots, whatever. But for me, I try to focus on the shot I'm hitting and nothing else. You know, you think more about the risk that you could take by hitting an aggressive shot, or, you know, should I go at this pin or not? So it's definitely a different mindset. It's a battle though. Like sometimes a lot of things I think about for a tournament is like, how do I want to feel before the tournament, before I get there? Like, what do I want to be, chill and just kind of like nonchalantly walk in and get ready for it? Do I want to like psych myself out about it? Because I've
last done Ramstein in the parking lot.
I just try to be as chill as possible, because like you can really like build it up too much to where you're just like, you know, it's just all in your head already and you haven't even hit a ball yet. But yeah, definitely I think focus is a lot higher, and just thinking about, you know, if I miss this or if I hit this too long, things that you don't normally think about, maybe when you're playing a fun round, you're uber focused on that. Cliff. So. Yeah, and that too, yeah. Definitely.
I love that. Hey, I love Cliff, that, Cliff.
I'll join you next time, okay?
I think one of the things about tournament golf is like right off the bat, you're already thrown off your rocker, right? Like we play together often. You know, I play with Trey or whoever it is, and right off the bat, you're automatically paired with people you don't typically play with that often.
Yep.
So it automatically throws you off your game, right? Because there is a comfort zone there when like we all play together, and I know nobody in my group's going to judge me. I mean, not like I care about that anymore. Like, golf is golf. It's a game. It's whatever. But I think it's, you know, you can go into it with a mind state like, hey, I'm going after it. I'm going to play smart. I'm going to hit it here. I'm going to hit it there. But once you get thrown off that, it's like, how do you respond to it? And it's completely mental. I mean, as far as like a tournament, it's different caliber. Mm-hmm. It's not your weekend round. It's not your, I took work off today because it, you know, it's you're playing for something. So it's like, how do you respond? And I have been in the mix quite a few times, and you do get that, like your heart beats. And it's like, the more that happens, the more you can get comfortable with that. It's obviously going to put you in better situations as you move forward. But it's like, it for those that have never done it, it's completely different. You know, if you're going after a, especially like the really cool trophies that the VGN had for the golf, like the cards, I really wanted one of those.
God, I wanted that, you know, so bad.
Yeah, it didn't work out for me, but you know, I'm happy for AG that got one, because I was in his group, so I got to see him play up to his potential, and he played really well. Probably not as good as he could have, but he still pulled it out. And that should give you hope that you don't have to play your best game. You have to just outlast the opponents and just grind through it. Because tournament golf is different. You have to battle those demons and be like, yo, I just need to make bogey here. I need to just make double here, whatever the case may be. But it is completely different, and it'll get your heart beating. And it's not as serious in the VGM, but it's still serious, which I appreciate. And I love it. It's fun to do once a month. It really is. Like, and it's not the barefoot round, or it's not the give a fuck round. Or, well, when you're on 17 and it, when you're on 17, you have no chance. Take your shoes off. You know what I mean? Like, you lost. Take it on the chin. So, that's my thoughts. It's like, you're automatically thrown off your game from the get-go because you're not playing with people you play with all the time.
Yeah.
So it's an auto adaption, and you have to adapt quickly, especially on a golf course that you need to adapt to quickly. So it's a mental fortitude, and you need to figure it out. And it's a puzzle that you got to piece together.
I'm struggling with, like, because we go to Laughlin Ranch, course I haven't played before, never seen it, and I played great. And it was a casual round. It was a fun experience seeing a new course, being in a new place, traveling, the drive down, you know, checking everything out, and my mind just wasn't on scoring. It was just out there in the moment. And I got to find a way to try and bring that mentality to rounds that have importance. Cause I played like trash at Mountain Falls. I played like trash at TPC Summerlin. I played like trash at Reflection. But I can go to, you know, Laughlin Ranch and play the golf that I know I can play. It's just, it's a struggle for me. Cause I hit really bad shots in tournament golf, and it's so frustrating. Like, I don't do that when I'm out there, you know, playing not necessarily a casual round, but just a round of golf that, you know, that's not tournament.
Yeah,
it's different. I guess you can say it's casual. I don't have as many stupid mistakes, like stupid chili dip in a chip shot that I, you know, I should have putted, or just stuff like that. It's wild.
That's golf, though. That's the beauty of golf, though. You know, it's never the same. You know, it changes from day to day, from course to course, and especially in tournament golf, you know, because you can, I think a lot of it has to do with the mental state and the mental capacity that each person has. Like, a lot of people get wrapped up in seeing the shots that are happening in that group and being, you know, and letting that, oh man, that guy hit that close. Let me, I got to try to get inside him. You know, you kind of think differently, you know, when you should be thinking,
yeah,
okay, this is a par four, you know, I let me just par this hole because there's 17 other holes where I have an opportunity to make another birdie. This might not be the hole to try to force a birdie on. you know, you just, I think a lot of people get too lost in playing their competitors and worrying about other guys in the field than it is the shot at hand and trying to make par on each and every hole, which more often than not will win you these tournaments. You know, Big Matt going three under, you're going to lose to a three under regardless. You know, that's a good round of golf. But
but thinking of that though, right? He was probably playing for par on every hole and he got lucky a couple times.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, also too, you know, I feel like he's in a good mind space because he's coming into that tournament with two wins already. You know, he probably already knows, okay, let me just play my game. You know, if I play my game, these guys can't touch me. So it's one less thing for him to worry about. You know, and, you know, a lot of times, like I said, you can get wrapped up in your competition and watching the guys you're playing with play when really you need to be just focusing on, okay, let me par this hole. Let me get the par on this hole. You know, if I can get a birdie here and there, you know, just try to play the course instead of trying to play the competitors that are out there.
I will say I talked to him afterwards and he was like, man, he told me, thank you. I don't do very much for VGN. Like, yeah, I rep it, but he thanked me. So I was like, no problem. And he said, I haven't had this much fun playing golf in a long time. So that was cool to hear, you know?
Well, yeah, winning's fun for sure.
It is. It is very fun. But he said he's getting excited to wake up in the morning to go play competitive golf, which he did used to play competitive golf, and he said he like lost it. So for him to want to do that, like that's awesome, man. Like maybe we awoke the beast, unfortunately. And that's bad for you guys in his division, but
play better, right?
You know what? Exactly. That's funny you say that, Dan, because he called me today and he's having a conversation because he was generally concerned that people may be upset that he's won three in a row. And I said, look, Dan and Bob dominated. And then Dan couldn't play as much last year and Bob moved. So Trey, the door opened up for Trey and Trey dominated. I said, you know, now you're here and you're dominating right now. And I think what it's telling all those other guys that are out there is I need to fucking play better.
Yeah, get your shit together and play better. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I told him, I said, Trey said this a long time ago on the podcast. He's like, you don't like finishing third? Play better. It's kind of our montage. Hey, play better.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
That's the motto of the Diamonds group. Play
better. I loved it. I said, I love seeing it because, you know, it's not that it knocked Trey off the pedestal, but it's let Trey know, hey, if you want to be the man in the VGN, there's a new sheriff right now. And I love it. I want to see that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what's cool though. I think it feeds dedication, repetition. Like I think it helps everyone. Right. I don't want to go into that, but I really enjoyed my group going into this. And I was like, man, I feel really good about everybody I'm playing with. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can get this, you know, and I fell off. But as far as people playing better than you, that should motivate you.
Absolutely.
100%.
And if it doesn't, figure your shit out.
Yeah. If it doesn't, you're not going to get any better. You're going to keep taking L's.
Yeah, I did that for you, Matt. That for you, Boyd. Because I literally did. When I saw my pairing, I was like, I feel good about this. Like, I'm going to enjoy myself. I can play good golf. You know, I'm going to enjoy playing golf in a competitive atmosphere, but just didn't have it. And it is what it is. But it's crazy. Competitive golf is very different than just going out with your homies.
Yep.
Very. So we got the next event is Aliante. It's in 12 days.
What a great deal. It's a good deal, too. You guys should sign up.
A dick.
No, I think dick. It's. I think it's a good deal. I think it is a good deal. I think it's a good deal.
I said
Aliante's worth $80, and you're throwing $30 towards the purse. Like that's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people don't think so.
But... Yeah, yeah. That was a stab at Dan if you didn't get that.
Dan said he came out to me like, I sent a text because Trey signed up for it, and I was like, is Dan not playing in this one because of the tournament him and Trey are going to? Do I need to tell Trey, hey, you signed up for this, you can't make it? And he's like, no, I don't think the course is worth that much. It's like,
look, it's okay. It's not worth that much, but it's worth $80 because the greens are going to be better than Reflection Bay, 100%. And if $30 goes to the purse, it's worth it, 100%.
But also, I work. I have graduation.
Yeah, that's
there you go.
So regardless, I wasn't going to play anyway, even if it was free.
Graduation. I got a grad coming up here real soon. She had her grad walk at the school today. Graduation's a couple weeks.
That much closer to getting him out of the house, Matt.
She doesn't go to New York until October, so.
That's okay. You're going to be crying your ass off. He's going to be crying.
Don't leave me, baby.
That's what I said. You sure you don't want to go to UNLV and stay home? Are you sure?
I'm going to miss you.
So life, hey, if you got young ones, suck up every minute because before you know it, they're walking around their school campus in a
wearing cap and gown.
Bucky t-shirts. Oh, goodness. Got anything else? Anybody got any deep thoughts or anything else you want to chime
deep
in on?
Deep thoughts, Jay.
Deep thoughts.
We need to bring that back, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
What you got?
Come on. You got to find something to vent on.
It's been a long time since you've had a
deep thought. It has been.
It's been a minute.
He's staring at the ground like he's got a deep thought.
No, you know what I was going to say?
He's got one for sure. He's got one.
Oh, here we go.
I was going to say was that going back to the tournament, you know, the tournament feel and all that, I actually feel like I play better when I play with strangers. I think me and Dan play a ton, probably because I requested that early in the VGN time. I'm like, just put me with Dan every time. All right, Dan. But I think for me, like getting out of my comfort zone actually helps me play better and perform better. I think it's the sort of being uncomfortable that makes me focus less on maybe the technicalities of golf than just chilling and swinging. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
You're probably right. Like after the first tee, like it helps you. Like if you can do like the ultimate combo, like I know these people, I hit my first tee shot and then switch my group out. Like,
yeah.
And then you perform better.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
Jeremy's just like a show off. He's just like, I don't know these people, I'm going to show them a dope at golf, you know?
I've had the reverse commissioner's curse this year.
Yeah.
It's all coming back on me and I'm just playing like trash.
I'm right there with you.
Good at Laughlin Rants.
I'm right there with you, Matt. Three of my four tournaments so far this year have been in the 80s, so I'm on the trash bus with you, buddy.
Okay, good.
You're not alone.
I think there might be a virus out there going down. Soul golf might be a virus, unfortunately, for tournament golf.
Oh,
it's all good.
Yeah, you need to leave the soul golfer in the car. That'll be back in 5 hours.
I see what you're talking about, Jay, with playing with strangers, you know, and how you could, you know, focus on yourself and your game a little bit more. You know, a lot of times,
yeah, no, anytime
when I get paired up with Jay, we're talking about these dirty memes and shit that we said to each other.
Yeah, we're playing golf.
Oh my God, I got to send you one. Thanks for reminding me. I know anytime I go somewhere, like family trip or something, I go out and play as a single and I get paired with people, I always play really well. So it's that there may be something to that, but it hasn't worked for me so far.
One of the crazy things is though, when you get paired up with people, like I've maybe had like 2-3 bad experiences being paired up with someone. Like you typically don't have like a super bad experience being paired up with an unknown.
Unless they're a
typically,
dick.
Yeah. I mean, they're out there for sure, but
yeah.
Like, have you had any experiences where you're like, "Hey, I'm on vacation. I'm going to go play golf," and they were just assholes?
One time.
Yeah,
just one time. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. And how many times does it happen? You know, it's like it does happen, but for the most part, everybody's cool. Everybody's chill.
Mm-hmm. And then you get their number after.
Yeah. And then you never talk to them again.
Have
you ever heard of the Vegas Golf Network?
Yeah.
We're in Georgia, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, next time you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
See, yeah. Now we got the podcast. We can show them. Hey, you're listening to the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Check this one out. All right. Well, that's all I got for this evening. Joe, you want to wrap it up? Here, I'll do my spiel real quick, and then I'll turn it over to you. Thank you, Golf Stop. Thank you, Las Vegas Golf Superstore. Thank you, Cyrus, for the invite to the one-day member guest out at TPC Summerlin. That was a blast. Thanks to everybody that's tuning in and chiming in on YouTube and Instagram. We love it. We need you to like the show. We need you to follow the show. The podcast comes out. Open it up. Follow it. Share it. Tell your friends about it. Leave a 5-star review. Nothing less. We don't want anything less than that. We deserve it. We've earned it. We got coming up later this month our 5-year anniversary show, which is freaking nuts that we've been doing this for five. Well, Joe and I have been doing it for 4. Dan's been almost a year.
I'm still on probation.
Yeah, he still has probation, hasn't passed yet. But yeah, 5 years of the CDP. Never thought we'd ever get this far. I tell you, golf podcasts, they come and go. There's some really good ones that don't last 3 weeks. So I love that these guys want to do this with me every week, and we're having a blast doing it. So with all that, all the thank yous, all the I love yous, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And Joe, take us home.
I will say, I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and he had no idea that I had a podcast. And he said he wanted to do a podcast. I'm like, just do it, man. Like, if you're going to do something anyway, might as well just do it. Because he said that him and his friends sit there all the time. It's not funny, guys. It's not fucking funny, guys.
Yeah, the way you said it, it was. If you're just going to do something,
you got to do it. Just do it.
Well, he was like, hey, I sit in this garage with my friend every night and we talk. I'm like, and he said he wanted to start a podcast. I'm like, if you're going to do it
like a podcast,
do it. Because what I was telling him was, these guys are my homies. We're going to talk this shit anyway. Might as well record it and put it down on tape.
Yep. True.
And that's what I told him. Like, these guys are my buddies. We're going to do it anyway. Put it down on tape and then put it out to the world. If nobody listens, it is what it is.
They do listen.
I mean, we're going to do this shit anyway, even if we didn't have this podcast.
It's the Nike Golf. They're like, hey, if we're going to do it anyways, we might as well just do it. It's like, can we shorten that? Put it on a t-shirt?
Yeah. It's 100% true, though. If we didn't record this every Tuesday at 8:30, we'd be doing this in text messages or when we see each other or whatever. I mean, and 100%. That's the thing.
100%.
You know, and you know, it's not a money thing. It's a for the love thing. So we would appreciate everybody going to like this, subscribing, tell your friends. I mean, we're here every week because we are here for the love. So if you love golf, listen. Tell your friends, subscribe, like, comment, all them shits that help people, you know. It is what it is. And we'll see you next week, man. Till then. Later. Later.